This podcast is the second installment dealing with the value of generosity. In this edition, we invite a good friend to come and share with us some of his wisdom. Okay, welcome to the podcast, everyone. In the last podcast, I dealt with the value of generosity. And I did so, as you may recall, from the perspective of money. What does Scripture say about money? Why is it so important that we live as a people who are generous? And maybe more specifically, why is it so important that our churches live as a people that are generous together? Well, today I thought it would be fun to have an interview with someone who has had a number more years to work on this than I have. And so I've asked our beloved friend Sig to come in and share with us some of his wisdom on generosity. And what I like about Sig is that he has come to see this from, I think, from a more holistic perspective. Certainly, you're going to hear this in a moment. It involves money. Generosity does for Sig and for his wife, Ruth. But it really has come to involve their whole life. Their whole life is one of living as people that are generous and seeking to have a lifestyle that is marked by generosity. So everybody, say hello to our good friend, Mr. Sig Daves. All right, Sig, let's get into it. Now, you said in preparation for this little interview, that there are some premises that kind of stood behind your understanding of generosity. So why don't we start with that? What are the premises that make up your understanding?
I had thought this through on the four basics that we're going to talk about today: money, time, possessions, and talents. And I wanted to know what my basis was for this understanding. And I said, well, hold on, I have some basic things that I live by. And so I have seven premises that I want to just sort of quickly push out there and say, these are the basics on which I build this teaching. But it's teaching is one thing, but you actually have to live it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about teaching, because everybody can see through your teaching. You can talk about it, but you have to live it.
Of course.
I'll give you some practical a little later on. But first premise is the Shema, Hear, O Israel. And it talks about loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, is loving your neighbor.
Now, for help us out, where is the Shema found?
In Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Okay.
But more so in Mark chapter 12, 29, Jesus explains this to a lawyer. But he says, you need to love your neighbor. And you remember the story where somebody says, well, who is my neighbor? And the guy points out, well, the one who had mercy. Mm-hmm. So having mercy on your neighbor is crucial in our thinking. So to be generous to yourself, you know, buy yourself a Cadillac. But to be...
That's the generosity most of us like.
Yeah. But generous to your neighbor. So it's unselfish generosity.
Right.
Second point is God owns everything. Mm-hmm. You actually don't have it. It's his, and he's borrowing it to you for a time that you're on earth. And he's going to ask you to give an account as you come back.
Right.
So is that something that you're doing? And Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The third premise would be having an awe, a reverence for God. Mm. If you don't have reverence, all this teaching doesn't apply, because you don't want to be in front of him. You don't understand that he's holy. And if you don't understand that, then all this is, hey, I want to do my own thing.
Yeah, why be obedient, right?
Yeah, yeah. So reverence and Proverbs, I have 57 little notes in my Bible written down that are to deal with reverence, the fear of the Lord. You know, the King James, the fear of the Lord is the beginning mm-hmm. of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have this reverence, if you don't see him watching you, sitting on your shoulder, looking at you, or hearing everything you say, or seeing everything you do, then I'll do it my way.
Sure.
God watches. The fourth one is, I'm a servant of the living God. A bond servant, a doulos, as Paul says. Mm-hmm. I want to show people that Christ is inside of me, and it's him I'm trying to reflect. It's a mirror, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then from Psalm 123, it says, as the eyes of the servant look to the master, so my eyes... So even like a waiter, when you go to a restaurant, he sort of watching. If you snap your fingers or look, he's there, right?
Right.
He's giving you a knife. He's giving you a glass of water. He's watching. Mm-hmm. That's a good waiter. You leave him a tip.
Yeah.
I want to be that kind of servant.
Mm.
The fifth one is I see myself as leaving footprints. Yeah. And I have grandchildren and children who are watching how I walk. Yeah, I can talk all I want, but they actually see how my feet are walking. Mm-hmm. Toes, principle. They need to follow me, and in that basis, I want to show them that I love God. the five languages of love written, which are commonplace. But one of them is words of hope. Mm-hmm. So do I talk to God about, do I thank him for, you know, hey, God, I love you. Mm-hmm. Do I then give him my time, mm-hmm. which is one of the time things. Do I honor him by giving him time, or do I give my kids time? Do I give him gifts? Do I do sacrificial giving to God? Mm-hmm. And do I actually touch him? Like, touch is one of the key languages of love. Do I actually, anyway, we'll talk about that.
Which, if I were to guess at your life, probably, you know, go back, I bet you in your story, you saw in your own mom, you know, someone that was generous, right?
Yeah.
With her time.
Yeah.
And it just, it became something that you now followed in your footsteps, right?
She showed me love. And in that love, she showed me God. Mm-hmm. And in that, wow. So I want to emulate what my parents have done.
Right.
There's a song that I've been listening to. The kingdom of joy is justice and truth and joy in the Holy Spirit. Mm. It has nothing to do with money or time. It's justice and truth and joy in the Holy Spirit. The sixth one is, I believe God answers prayer. When you talk to him like I'm talking to you, he answers. I have a question. He says, hey, I appreciate the question. I'll answer it. Sometimes he doesn't answer it for a couple of days or a month, but he always answers. Psalm 107 has that basic truth where four different kind of people are asking. One's in prison, one's lost on a ship. Like today, economics are gone. What do I do? Talk to God. He answers. So this is about a interaction between myself and the living God. And the last one, the last premise is generosity is a team effort. You have to do it. If you're married, you have to do it with your wife. We have to have mutual submission, mutual support. I can't do something on my own because then it's selfish again. Mm-hmm. So it's an effort, and then you do it in the community. So that's the basis. These are the principles I want to talk about.
Well, that raises a lot of questions even in itself, right?
Because
what do you do if your wife isn't on board, or you're the person you're seeking to be generous alongside of isn't there, right? But those are other questions.
Ruth and I are on board.
Right. The question isn't you. The question is, what about the others?
I understand.
Where it's a different thing. Okay. Now, I don't know if I said this earlier on, but this really is coming out of a paper that you wrote for our council on your thoughts on generosity. And I thought it was so good that I thought, you know, the rest of us need to hear this one way or another. So in the paper that you prepared for us, you kind of outlined that there are four realms, so to speak, that you are seeking to be generous in. So the first one, let's start with that because, you know, just by way of continuity from the last podcast, okay, the first one was dealing with money. So how is it that you and your beloved wife, Ruth, have come to understand generosity with respect to money? How do you live with money? What do you do with it? Well, you know, give us the nitty-gritty. Help the rest of you. Say other people are following. Well, there's a lot of people that are following.
Let's define tithe first because people always, as soon as you talk money, they say tithe.
Okay.
10%. The word tithe means 10%, Old Testament thinking, right?
Right.
But New Testament, Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God's. He divides and says money is really not from this earth. Mm. Then he adds to the thing, and he says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So the rich guy, the rich young ruler, came to Jesus and he said, I've done all these things. I've kept all the commandments. Then Jesus said, well, sell everything and follow me. And the guy said, I can't. Mm. So money is this thing that grabs you. So giving 10%, it's a heart issue, really. For us, 10% off the top. Mm-hmm. People say, is that net or gross? No, it's gross. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I want a gross benefit. I don't want a net benefit. Because if net means, then I have this deduction. And finally, I have so many deductions that I don't have any income, and therefore I'm not giving God anything. So it's gross off the top, and it's from income, okay? When I don't make any money, I don't give a tithe.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. What about people? What do you think about people that are, you know, just eking by, like the single mom that's out there that's just scraping by? I guess the Lord is gracious in those things.
God asks for what you can give. He says you have to give it generously. And if you can't, he understands. He knows your predicament.
Right.
But I have seen the poor giving. Mm-hmm. I never see the rich. Mm-hmm. When I've watched people who give to the faith missions, it's $20, $5, and they send it with prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest gift you can give. Mm-hmm. The $10,000 check doesn't show up. Mm. It shows up very meagerly.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
The rich don't give. The poor give lots.
Okay.
So you got to give. Mm-hmm. And out of that, you get a blessing. Mm-hmm. Okay? You get the return. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, it worked out to roughly 33%. But Jesus asks you for all. Mm-hmm. So you have to give account of everything. So 10% is a tithe. That's right off the top. Second one is an offering. Mm-hmm. That comes out of your abundance. So if you have something left over, you say, okay, here, this person needs $100. You give them. You may not get a tax receipt.
What? You give without a tax receipt?
Yeah. That's out of giving out of right. your abundance. Yeah. And then there, the third one is sacrificial giving, mm-hmm. where you say, okay, I'm gonna take a bus to work. I'm going to sell my car, and I'm going to give this money to somebody. Mm. Or you do something that hurts you sacrificially and give that money. God says, I understand that. That's mm-hmm. sacrificial giving. Mm-hmm. And he also has a fourth element, Old Testament thinking, that you need to have 10% for fun.
Right.
You need to have joy. Walking around with a heavy face, you're supposed to spend some money on yourself and your family mm-hmm. and the people around you. So invite someone camping, invite someone to dinner, take people out, pay their bill.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, right? Is that we can live simply so that we want to be generous with what we yeah. have. But on the other hand of that, we don't want to be known as the Scrooges or no. the penny pinchers.
Well, you get depressed after
right.
a while. So you got to give.
You got to be people that celebrate yeah. with what you have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important.
And there's lots of, we could go into tithing and all kinds of, a lot of scripture verses on this aspect. But you really got to give it from your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to want to.
Right.
And the scripture says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves don't break in, right?
Right.
Because that's where it's secure. The other thing is, you got to give money. When you give money to the poor, if you give it grudgingly, it's not given. Mm. You got to give it and say, here it is, right? So you give money to someone and say, I don't want it back. Mm. And they go, what do you mean? Or you give somebody, I don't want interest on it. Well, why wouldn't you want interest? Because I'm giving it to God.
Yeah.
And then you don't get it back, but you've done it with an offering, right? As say, Lord, this is your money. I'm giving to this poor person. I have a little more than he has right now, so here it is. Mm.
It's such an important thing, right?
Yeah.
Because money has such a hold on us, yeah. doesn't it? And it's always, though, that initial step of beginning to say, no, we're going to do this as a lifestyle. Then the ball gets rolling.
And if you want it back, then suddenly you want to squeeze the guy for the money, and then you've lost the fun of giving.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's go to the next one.
Yeah, let's go to time. Okay, so the next thing on your little list was time. Tell us about how you and Ruth have come to give of your time.
Time is your most limited resource. You only have 80 years in your lifetime, 70 years, whatever, right?
Right.
And if you look at your day, days gone, they move so fast that if you actually work out your week, you might have 30 hours of free time.
Okay.
Okay? What do you do with those 30 hours of free time? If you watch one hockey game like last night, that's 3 hours. That's only 27 hours. So once you start adding in your week, what do you have left? Mm-hmm. And God's asking the question, what are you doing for me? Mm. Are you tithing your time for me? Mm. Do you give 10%? So 24 hours a day. Do you give 2.4 per day to me? Mm. He calls it the Sabbath, right? Do you then lump that 2.4 and give it on one day? Yeah. Or are you giving it daily? So if your kids don't see you praying, if your kids don't see you reading the Bible, if your kids don't see you singing, praising God, they will never understand if you only do it on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a habit. It's not something. So tithing your time daily at supper time is an excellent time to sit around, read the Bible, talk about God, ask how has God been working, what happened today, what it was fun. Mm-hmm. Tithing your time on a daily basis is crucial because it's a non-renewable resource.
But something that I've seen in you for sure is that, and beyond just your family, say you and Ruth have lived a life of tithing your time for the poor, right? And for the people that are needy around you. You really do. You seek to try and, it wouldn't be appropriate to list names here, but you do. You seek to give of your time in those things. And the Lord sees a lot of stuff.
Well,
right?
I want to honor God.
Right.
He says, love your neighbor. And some neighbors are really hard to love, but that's his request. He doesn't ask me who is my neighbor. He said, okay, you got to love them.
Right.
And so when he taps me on the shoulder and says, this is the person you need to spend some time with, I can't then say, hold on, I'm busy. Because
right.
What do you mean you're busy?
Yeah.
And I've got lots of stories to tell about how God has actually salvaged time for me when I thought I was busy and I did something for him. And it just worked the other way that I got a benefit of time.
But again, time's the kind of thing, right, that it's never going to be there unless you intentionally seek to make it there.
Yeah, it's right? an intentional thought.
Because, business, family, everything else,
yeah.
just becomes all, it can become
yeah.
all encompassing,
yeah.
right? So you have to say, no, I am going to choose and make it as discipline in my yeah. lifestyle to be generous with my
well,
time.
Well, every morning, Ruth and I pray for our daily agenda,
okay.
but I pray through my meetings and the time I'm going to spend on what? Like 2 hours on this, 1 hour on that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to pray my way through the day on my day timer so that I am redeeming the time.
Right.
Because you're supposed to redeem the time in everything you do.
Yeah.
And what I find is when I pray about things, some meetings get canceled and I have more time for something else. Or some people phone me in advance and say, I've resolved the issue. I'm going, wow, that was at 3 o'clock. And he's phoning me at 10 in the morning. Like, so time is something that I give to God and say, please help me through my day.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's go to next one you have is possessions. And I put in my little notes the question here, you know, is that it seems like for you that the whole idea of what's mine is mine doesn't really apply in the kingdom.
No, can't.
Right.
Possessions, people think, Ruth said, possessions is more like toys. Mm. She had time, tunies, and talent, like it's four T's. Mm-hmm. So this one is toys. What are your toys? And you have to give them away.
Does your house count as a toy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a possession that you have, mm-hmm. and are you using it for God? Is it open to people who want to come and live in your house? Mm-hmm. Now, that eats your time and your money. Mm-hmm. So once you give a house possession, it takes more than one. But suppose you had two sofas. Are mm-hmm. you willing to give one up
right.
when someone needs it?
Yeah.
If you have an extra car, are you willing to give it away?
Mm-hmm.
Like possessions, are you hanging on? Because in the end, as you said on the last one, there's no U-Haul behind the hearse. You right. can't take it with you.
Yeah.
Are you downsizing? Are you saying, I don't need any more stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Today's society has storage lockers everywhere. I mean, huge. We have all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not taking it with you. So are you giving it away? Are you selling it?
Yeah. And one of the things that's become clear to Jolie and I in the past couple of years particularly is around our house, you know, there's so much opportunity in being generous with our house to really engage in ministry and in loving people, which is what one of your premises was earlier
yeah.
on, right? It's like you open up your house and say, come and share your house. Come and share this meal with us. Well, what does that open up in people's lives? That generosity sows so much into other people's lives, doesn't it?
Yeah. But if you have people stay with you, if they stay with you 3 or 4 months or a year or so, and they're not your children or somebody else, then suddenly it changes the blessing, right? Because now they see you, your daily walk.
Yeah.
They go, wow, you know, like this is what you do on a daily basis. They see your hurts. They see your pain. They see when you cry.
Mm-hmm.
You actually cry. Yeah. Why? Because I'm having problems.
Right.
And then they learn to live that God answers those problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
He puts them in your way so that you can help others by learning the lesson. You learn the lesson and you can help others. If you never learn the lesson, you can't help someone else because you don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. Possession is one of those key things.
Okay, so we've got money, we've got time, we've got possessions. Final one is talents. And just for background, for those that don't know, Sig is an architect. His wife is a many talented woman, right?
Sure.
A fantastic master hostess and a cook. Has done accounting work for you and your business for many years.
And my business, yeah.
Right, works now in the Ukraine with her skills and time there. So. What do you do with your talents? Because you're an architect. Do you really want to go home afterwards and give up your architect skills? You know, haven't you had enough at the end of the day of that?
Well, I'm thankful that God had given me a job to do, or I call it a hobby, because I really enjoy it. And since my daytime job is being a witness for Jesus Christ, that's my job. And you never retire. You never get Freedom 55. It's your daily job to be intentionally a Christian. And witness.
Right.
So a talent is something like a hobby, something you do for fun. Architecture is something I do for fun. So if a church phones me up and says, Sig, will you design a church for me? I ask the boss, God, what do you, is this a church I should do for free? Or is this a church you want me to try? What do you think?
Now that's cool though, that you ask the Lord, because I would say this is probably true the whole way across in every one of these categories.
Yeah.
So there is sometimes where the Lord says, don't give here.
That's right.
Right, you don't need to worry about giving your time or your energy here.
So sometimes he says, no, this is a full fee job.
Right.
Sometimes he says, no, this is a job for free. I remember going to one church where I asked them specifically, what do you do for missions? And the guy looked at me like I was out to lunch. He says, we're building a church for ourselves.
Right.
And that answer was what I was waiting for, because I gave him my full fee, what my fee was. He looked at me and says, what do you give for a church as a discount? And I said, no, it's full fee. Because they weren't in missions.
Right.
And he was thunderstruck. And I said, no, I'm not going that way.
Mm-hmm.
You want a good job? I'm a good architect. I'll do a professional job. This is the fee that the institute asks, and this is the fee. And he was blown away. But I've seen churches where they didn't have anything, and I've helped them and not charged them a dime, mm-hmm. simply because I knew God would say, hey, Sig, they work for me too.
Right, yeah.
You know? So it's and I love doing it, right?
Right.
But we also have other talents. Like people who paint or do paintings, do you give them away for a silent auction?
Mm.
because people are always asking for things for silent auctions.
Sure.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
What else can you do?
Yeah.
What other, do you have a talent in cutting a lawn?
Mm.
Do you give your time to cut a lawn?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody wants to cut a lawn. What can you do with the giftings that God has given you to help others?
And this is the fact of it, right? Is that all of us are gifted in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. Baking food, baking bread, bringing people food for, like Ruth does a lot, for people who are sick or at home, or, you know, all kinds of things. Mending clothes or whatever. Giving a person a ride.
Yeah.
Phoning them up saying, look, you got to go to the cancer treatment? Yeah, I'll drive you.
Right.
Yeah, you can drive. Some people don't have license, so they couldn't drive. But we all have different abilities. And we say, Lord, how today, and I think that's our basic theme in the morning. You get up, say, Lord, I'm your servant. So how today, with my time, my possessions, my money, how can I honor you?
Yeah.
What would I? And often he just smiles and doesn't say anything. But around 10 o'clock in the morning, you get this tap on the shoulder and a phone call comes and he says, could you drive me to so-and-so? And you say, no, I'm busy.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's someone you've been praying for a few years. You know, God would just sort of sit there and said, Sig, this is the day that you can talk to them.
Yeah.
You've been praying for them and you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
I'm busy, Lord.
Get in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, God would just say, Sig, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that he'd say that, would he?
Yeah, he would. He well, when you take the position that you don't have respect for him, you're his servant.
Okay.
He's the boss.
Yeah.
And you say, no, I'm busy.
Right.
Tell your boss that you're busy.
Yeah. Yeah,
he pays the accounts.
Right? Goes back to your premises, right?
Yeah.
See, this is gold, right? This is why I knew I wanted you to come in here. Okay,
so
this is great stuff. Okay, let's recap again: money, time, possessions, and talents.
The four T's. Toonies.
Four areas of generosity.
Toonies, time.
Okay, we got to wrap it up for time's sake. Anything else to conclude?
Yeah, I like this verse from Proverbs.
Okay.
Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things I ask of the Lord. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with the food you prescribe for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, hey, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and thereby profane the name of the Lord. This is the holiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Profane the name of the Lord. Cool. So, I always have a little song, and the song that came to mind was, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sig.
Hey. Thanks, Annie.